made it to my fourth and final sermon in this series, and I thought, yay! I thought maybe that might get me off the hook for the rest of the year, but that's not the case, apparently. Today I want to talk about the plumb line in the Amos reading that we read. And maybe you are like me and don't really know what that means, what a plumb line is. If so, I have conveniently provided a picture on the front of your bulletins that shows somebody using a plumb line. And also, Gordon was very gracious as to bring a plumb line to church for me. So this is what a plumb line actually looks like and how it works. And so you would hold it against a building to make sure that the building was square and straight. Now, doing research and not knowing what a plumb line is, I've learned that we have upgraded since the days of using a plumb line. Apparently now there are lasers and other technologies that use that act as a plumb line. And I'm sure Bill and Gordon could probably talk to you about all of that fancy technology we have today. But since the Bible keeps it old school, I'm going to talk about the plumb line. Plumb lines were used to give carpenters a straight line so they knew that their building would be straight and sturdy and square. It is really important to use a plumb line, but if you don't, your building is not going to be sturdy and it won't last. It won't be square. So allow me to share a little story with you about when a building project wasn't quite square. I chaperoned a high school mission trip to Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, and my group's project was to build a shed that week. I was tasked with leading two other youth and building the frames for the roof of the shed, and the leader of our project quickly showed us how to do this, and we're like, yep, we got it, we can do this, this seems easy. So I'm like sawing away, getting the pieces cut just right for the frames, and we're nailing them together. And we're really excited that we finished these frames so quickly, and we start passing them up to be placed on the shed, and we get them all up there, nice and a great line, and none of them matched. They were all crooked and different, and our project manager looks at us and he said, "Did you cut these right? Like, are they the right length?" And I knew for sure that I had cut them right. And then he said, "You did use the square, didn't you?" We missed out a little part on making sure that they were all square together, using the square to make sure they were all of the same angle. So we got to take all of the frames back down from the roof and redo them all because we did not use our plumb line for that project. So that is why it is so important to use a plumb line. And, but you might be wondering, how do these plumb lines apply to people? This is where we read about in the story today, that God tells Amos that God is setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. So why is this necessary? What does it even mean to set a plumb line in the midst of people if it's a construction tool? The people of Israel were a people of law. Moses went up Mount Sinai and came back down with the Ten Commandments for the Israelites to live by. For many of us, laws seem restrictive and overpowering. But for the people of Israel, these laws shaped their lives and instructed the ways they were to live life according to their scriptures. But in our story with Amaziah, King Jeroboam, and Amos, the people of Israel have gotten a little off track from living a life modeled after scripture. Under King Jeroboam's rule, the rich were neglecting, abusing, and oppressing the poor in their society. They were caring for no one but themselves, and seeking every means possible to lift themselves even higher than everyone under them. This came at the expense of those on the fringes. This ruler was neglecting the humanity that was under his charge, and his court prophet, Amaziah, was assisting in this tyrant ruling. God notices the pain and suffering that the Israelites are facing under King Jeroboam, and God becomes very angry that no one is standing up to face and counter the oppression taking place. God's justice breaks out as divine fury against the injustice taking place. If no one else will stand for the victims of cruelty, God will. God is so angry that these people, the Israelites, have strayed so far from the law of their scriptures that they are ruling cruelly over others. They have completely lost view of the humanity under their care, for they are only caring for themselves. This is the kindling for God's anger. This is what ignites God's anger towards the nation, because all of God's children are not being cared for in humane ways. King Jeroboam's rule is so cruel that he and his leaders do not view their actions as sinful. They are completely blind to the damage they are doing. This makes me think of people who are pathological liars or embellished storytellers. Maybe you know someone like this or have heard about others' experiences, how these folks tell an embellished story or lie for so long that they actually start to believe it. They actually start to fool themselves and their own lie because it has been ingrained in their system, and they can no longer decipher the truth from lies any longer. This is exactly where King Jeroboam sits with his ruling. He has fooled himself into believing that his rule is worthy and causing the people of Israel to live in a great nation. He has started to believe the lies he is telling everyone else. He truly thinks he is bettering humanity. This is where the plumb line comes in to be used as a measuring tool that cannot be manipulated or coerced. God knows that God established Israel in the beginning according to a plumb line of law, and that Israel is no longer square. God's righteous anger comes alive as God calls Amos to be the plumb line to Israel, to check and see if Israel is measuring up, as God well knows that Israel is not. But since King Jeroboam has fooled himself and his followers, they must see the plumb line for themselves. Who will God send with this word to Israel? A priest? A pastor? An intern? No. God sends Amos. Amos is a simple farmer, or some call him a herdsman, and yet he is called to prophesy against the nation of Israel. Amos is called to speak truth to power, which brings quite the risk. Amos is not acting on his own will to speak truth to power, but is rather led by the Spirit to bear the word of God. And when Amos arrives to speak truth to power, Amaziah, who serves King Jeroboam, is sent to undercut Amos's message. Amos calls for justice to roll down like waters and righteousness an ever-living stream, and he is met with someone calling his prophetic voice fake news. The plumb line Amos holds to Israel through his prophetic voice quickly shows that the order God established is clearly no longer in order. Similar to the frames for the roof that I built, they were no longer matching up. It is never easy to examine ourselves along a plumb line and recognize the places in which we no longer match up. It is especially hard to be a prophetic voice and hold a plumb line to institutions that hold power over us, to hold this plumb line to rulers who have fooled themselves with lies, to nations that are so wrapped up in their power that they are dehumanizing those that make their nation beautiful and thriving. The work of a prophet is not easy or risk-free. And yet we have Amos's walking among us today, holding up a plumb line and speaking truth to power. We know the power of these prophets. We know the good they can bring to our cruel and off-kilter established orders. We can follow in the footsteps